You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this Thursday, heading closer to the weekend. We're going to wrap up this week with the next sermon in this series in the book of Revelation. We're up to the faithful church at Philadelphia. This is the church where the Lord ultimately hands the pastor there, the spiritual leader, a blank check. He said, I have set before you an open door that no man can shut. That's where we're up to today. This will wrap up here tomorrow. This weekend, we're back in the book of Acts. I hope everyone enjoyed that sermon from this past Sunday, which has aired the last 2 days, and that is The Last Hour. That video is available for you to watch or to share with someone by going to the Island Community Church YouTube page. You'll find it right there on top, The Last Hour. You also can subscribe to our page, and then these links to these sermons will show up right there in your email by 2 o'clock on Sunday, the day that it's preached. The Last Hour, 1 John 2:18, that's where we were at Sunday. This week, we'll be back in the book of Acts. We'll be in chapter 17 this week, looking at perhaps the greatest sermon of all time, and that is Paul's sermon on Mars Hill, and this was in Athens. So that's where we're going to be, Sunday morning at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We meet at 10:30 on Sundays, 6 p.m. for midweek Bible study on Wednesdays. If you are either new to the area or if you're fed up that your church doesn't use a Bible, and if you're hungry for spiritual food and for the Word of God, then I know the place for you. That's Island Community Church, where I guarantee you, you will be fed. Porterhouse steak, the Word of God. That's what we do here at Island. Now, let's get into the Word. This is the Lord's dictated letter to the spiritual leader, messenger, Greek word angelos. That's why some translations say to the angel of the church. The church is in Philadelphia. This is the sixth of seven churches. Let's get into the Word now. Okay, we're in the city of Philadelphia. We've got one church left in this series. We're going through the book of Revelation verse by verse. We've got one church left in these seven churches. That'll be the lukewarm church next week. You could find yourself in a lukewarm church, not here, but somewhere else. If you go somewhere else, a lukewarm church has one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. A little bit of Christianity, but they don't want to offend anyone. So they're afraid to take it to the next step. That's next week. Here today, let's call this church First Baptist of Philadelphia. Now, the city of Philadelphia, let's pray before we get started. Lord, we exalt you in your house today. Lord, I thank you for this excellent work that you're doing here. And on behalf of Pastor Darren and myself, Lord, we thank you for the great favor you have bestowed on us, that you've given us a church family that is so easy to shepherd. You've been so good to us. Lord, we continue in that now. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Speak to us here this morning. Help us to be doers of your word, especially today, more than all these others. Help us to be doers of your word. When we get to the point here today, when we've got to make decisions on what you'd have us to do, because you've set before us an open door, help us to know what to do. Give us a discernment that we need.
Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit now. Lord, in Jesus' name we ask, amen. Okay, Philadelphia. Philadelphia was 28 miles southeast of Sardis. Now remember, he's going in a loop. If you have a good Bible, in the back of your Bible, you'll see maps in it. And it'll show you the seven churches of Revelation, how we started with Ephesus and got the Sardis up there. And he's working his way back down now, next to the last on the bottom, Philadelphia, 28 miles southeast of Sardis. It was located in an area known for its agricultural products, but was afflicted with earthquakes, which destroyed the city several times. Most recently, at around 37 AD. Now, the city was named for a king of Pergamos, whose name was Attalus Philadelphus, who had built the city. Have you ever seen a church that is alive and faithful to Christ? A church that focuses on Jesus Christ? Let's make a list, right? A church that makes the Lord Jesus the center of its ministries and activities? A church that focuses on reaching and growing people for Christ? A church that focuses upon teaching people to love Christ and to love one another more and more? This was the church at Philadelphia. This church represents all the churches down through the ages that are the people and the church is alive and faithful and doing it right. Now we're picking it up here in verse 7. We're in Revelation chapter 3. Let's pick it up in verse 7. Now to the messenger of the church in Philadelphia, right? Again, most translations say angel. The Greek word is angelos. It means messenger. I believe he's talking to the pastor. He's the messenger. Whoever it is who's given the message in these churches, I believe it's the pastor. Now to the messenger or the angelos of the church in Philadelphia, right? These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the keys of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Now, what did he mean by that, he who has the key of David? Well, he's quoting the Old Testament is what he means by that. He's quoting Isaiah chapter 22, verse 22. In verse 20, he says, then it shall be in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your belt. I will commit your responsibility into his hand. He will be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. So he shall open and no one shall shut. And he will shut and no one shall open. I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place, and he will become a glorious throne to his father's house. Boy, what a cryptic reference back to that, isn't it? But the key point to understand is he's talking about authority here. In all of these seven churches, he's talking about authority, his authority over the church. Similar to maybe having the keys to the city, right? As God gave this authority to Eliakim in the Old Testament, so is God giving the keys to not only the city, but to all authority. He's given all authority to his son. That's what he's trying to say here. Also, we see that the Lord is the ultimate fulfillment of many of these Old Testament prophecies. Might not understand that in one book, but everything comes together, like Vernon McGee used to say, that in the book of Revelation, it's like it's one train that goes in 65 different directions. All the cars break off, but they all come back together again in the book of Revelation. That's when you understand some of these remote things that were said in another book of the Old Testament. Key point, Jesus has the keys. He opens and shuts doors as he chooses. And keys can lock or unlock things. These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. All right, so these things says he who is holy. That is, the Greek word means set apart, like you are. You're even commanded. What does Peter say? Be ye holy. And he's quoting the Old Testament. Be holy as I am holy. To be holy means to be set apart like you are. That's why you're different, because you're holy. You're different because you've been set apart. That's why this evil world gives you a stomachache, because you're different from this world. You see all this sin around you and you get an upset stomach, because you are holy. And he who is true. Jesus told Pontius Pilate, I have come to bear witness to the truth. All who are of the truth hear my voice. So, he who is set apart, holy, he who is true. He also said, I am the truth. Isn't it refreshing in this evil world to know that you can go somewhere and go to someone and always hear the truth? Even if it hurts, at least you know you're going to hear it from him. At least you know you're going to hear it out of the word of God. And I guarantee you, you're going to hear it here. You might not like it, but at least you're going to hear the truth. I promise you that. For the 1 hour out of the 168 in the week that I've got you, by golly, you're going to hear the truth here. Politicians are so corrupt, they rarely speak the truth. But the Son of God is truth. I am the truth, he says. He said in his high priestly prayer, sanctify. That's the same Greek word as holy, is the word sanctify. Sanctify them by the truth. He's praying this for you. And guess what? He answered that prayer. That's why you hate this evil world. You do hate this evil world, don't you? Remember what James said about this world. He says, whoever is a friend of the world, James chapter 3, verse 1. You can write that one down too if you want. James chapter 3, verse 1. It says, whoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. He prayed for you that he would set you apart from this world. By golly, that's what the word church means. Ecclesia. Klesis means to call. Ek, as we're going to find out later in this sermon, means out of. Called out ones. The word for church means called out ones. You've been called out of this evil world. The world's going this way. The church of Jesus Christ is going that way. That's where he's looking when he comes back. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth, Jesus said. So, thus says he who is holy. Thus says he is true. Remember what Paul said? Let God be true and every man a liar. Thus says he who has all authority. Next up, contemplate this awesome truth, this fact that if the Lord Jesus opens a door for you, no man can shut it. If God the Son opens a door of opportunity for you, no man, no demon from the pit of hell can shut the door that Jesus has opened up for you. No one can shut it. Like perhaps an opportunity to do something for his glory, naturally. Not yours. His. Only what's done for Christ will last. Like maybe start a food pantry. Maybe start a radio broadcast. We're 2 for 2 here so far. Maybe get involved with a prison ministry. Maybe give some hope to the hopeless. You see, to the faithful church, he's opened a door that no demon from hell can shut. Maybe start or join a visitation ministry. perhaps some opportunity to influence some great man or woman or child with the gospel. Look at what God's done with our food pantry. Talk about opening a door that no man can shut. I got in front of this church not 2 weeks ago, and I made the comment. I asked Scott, he's not here today. I said, what do we need in the food pantry? He says, Pastor, we need soup. Well, I'll tell you what you guys don't know. The following Monday, someone that does not come to this church backed up his pickup truck, heavy laden, where the back of it was wheels were probably scraping on steel. Why? Because he had 20 cases of soup. It took me and Carol 2 shopping carts to unload his truck. Because God has set before you an open door that no man can shut. There were no weapon formed against you will prosper. God has opened the door for all the members of the faithful church and says, go do business until I return. The church has an open door that no man can shut. Now, could you imagine, you know, back in my day, if my father would have given me a blank check, God Almighty would have had a funeral for me already. What would you do if your own dad gave you a blank check that you knew was good? What would you put in there? Imagine putting 10 bucks in there. Oh, boy, don't you have faith. $10, a check signed by Jesus. Boy, put his autograph up on eBay. See what you get for that. Signed by Jesus. What do you put in there? Oh, $10. We only got 80 people here. We guess you only put $10. I don't want to be stretched. You better put $10 in there. I set before you an open door that no man can shut. It's a blank check from the Son of God. That's what he's promised at a faithful church. Sure is a lot different than the dead and corrupt churches the last 2 weeks. He had no commendation for them. To you, he says, I have opened the door. Ain't no demon in hell that's going to close it. Government's not going to tax it. The cancel culture, not going to cancel it. It's an open door no man can shut. These are the promises for all of you that are members of the faithful church in the world. Like Darren said to my office this morning, there's churches, there's pockets of churches like this all around the world that are like this. Let's get into our Bibles and read the promises that he has for the faithful church. I'm going to open a door for you for ministry to glorify me in my name, and no one can shut the door. That's good news. Let's keep busy. Remember, when he returns, you're going to give an account for what you did with the blank check that had no amounts filled in. This church is going to give an account. I, as the pastor of this church, I'm going to have to give an account for what we put in the blank check that the Son of God's given us. That's why I want to err on the side of mercy. Give away too much. God loves a... Right. Greek word hilarion for cheerful. God loves a hilarious giver where the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. You can't outgive God. But don't let that motivate you, that you're going to have to stand before him and give an account. Let the simple fact that you have a blank check from God motivate you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, I'm reading Psalm 1:1. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Count me in. Write me down. Count me in. Imagine having a blank check from the Son of God and filling in that blank with 10 bucks. Really? If this was addressed to you, what would you put in there? What would you put in there? I think of that. I think it's... Is it up there? There's another one to add to the list. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. It says, now to him... And get your mind around all of these adverbs. To him who was able to do exceedingly... Remember what they taught you in English? Word that ends in L-Y is what? It's an adverb. To him that is able to do exceedingly... abundantly
above
all that we ever ask or think. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask him for, all you could ever even scheme in your mind that you're too embarrassed to speak up. Just trust God. Get out of the boat. But that's personal. Really, we're talking about this church. This letter is written to the pastor of the church. It's what's Island Community Church going to do with a blank check? What are we going to do? Now, on the flip side, the Lord Jesus can close a door too. He closes the door that no man can open. No money can open. No politician can open. No thief can pry it open. And no prayer can open it either. Because he's closed the door. That door ain't going to open. No matter how hard you pray, the door's not going to open. He's closed it. Now, perhaps a door has been closed for you. Maybe some kind of work. Maybe a relationship. Be it business or personal. Maybe a house. Sue, or someone else. Maybe God, you're thinking and praying about getting a house somewhere and God has shut that door. You see, lean not in all your ways, acknowledge him. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in God when the door is closed. He's got a reason for it. There's a reason why he's closed the door, because he knows the future and we don't. And he's trying to spare us from harm. For reasons unknown to us, the Lord may close many doors, sometimes on our toes, to either prevent us from harm, because he knows all, or because it just might not be time yet to go through that door. So let me encourage you not to try to proceed headfirst through an iron door. You might end up with a headache and be staring at a closed iron door. It's still going to be closed. He says, I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door and no man can shut. Because you have a little strength and you've kept my word and you've not denied my name. All right, again, this door is open, church. Use what he's given you to serve him while the door is open. Use what God has given you. The world is your oyster. He's opened the door for the faithful church. The question is, I would ask you, how many talents do you have? Some have got 5, 2, 1. We read the parable of the talents. No matter your age, let me encourage you to continue to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep on working. All right, now in verse 9, the Lord promises to put the hurt on your enemy. And those who are opposed to your Christian service. Verse 9 starts with the word, behold. I will give those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but they're lying. Behold. Now he says it twice, behold. He's like, check this out. These people over here that say that they are Jews. They're not, he says. They're lying. How could he say that? I mean, that's like me saying I'm Italian and Jesus saying to me, no, you're not. You're lying. No, I'm not. I'm not lying. I am Italian. No, you're lying, Paul. You're lying. You're not Italian. That would tell me that that word does not mean what I think that it means, right? Otherwise, how can you say that I'm lying? Isn't that just a heritage and a nationality? Why don't you guys turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 2, verse 28. We've looked at it before. Let's look at it again. This is the third time he has said this now to a group in the church, where he has highlighted these people who said that they were Jewish, and Jesus each time has said, no, you're not. You're not. Romans 2:28. Okay, here we go. Everybody there? This is Apostle Paul speaking. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in flesh, but he is a Jew that is one inwardly. Circumcision is of the heart. Look at the next three words. What does it say? In the spirit, in the spirit, in the spirit, in the spirit. You're not a Jew because your national heritage, because you were born a Jewish person. Look what he says. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly. He is a Jew that is one inwardly. Circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter. That is in the spirit, not in the rules. In the spirit, not in the rules. In the spirit, not in keeping rules. Keeping rules and obeying the law is not what makes you a Jew. This circumcision is in the spirit, in his own words, whose praise is not from men, but from God. You see, no spiritual transformation, and you are not who you think you are. No spiritual transformation, and you're not who you think that you are. So that explains how, in God's opinion, you can be of Jewish heritage and not be a Jew. That, by the way, must be a shocking reality to some. You're not who you think you are. Actually, you're deceived. God doesn't see you as you see yourself. Because as we read in, I think it's 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, for God looks at the heart. And this circumcision, he says, is in the spirit. It's in the spirit. It's a heart condition. You see, if you are a spiritual son or daughter of Abraham, then you would believe God at his word.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I believe in God the Father. You found Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of the MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. This is Denny Nugent here with a question from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, where in verse 53, Jesus tells the disciples, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Now, John, it'd be easy to read that passage and assume Jesus is talking about the ordinance of communion, but is that what he's referring to there?
Well, he is not talking about the ordinance of communion there, of course. That is not established until the upper room on the night he was betrayed, before his crucifixion, when he transfers the Passover into the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. What he is saying in John chapter 6 is simply, you must take me in. His point was an analogy that has spiritual rather than literal significance. In other words, you have to embrace me. You have to embrace me, the Son of Man. You have to embrace me in my death, or you have no eternal life. To acknowledge a crucified Son of Man, a crucified Messiah for the Jews was unthinkable, alien, objectionable, and they had no interest in a crucified Messiah. Our Lord is saying, if you don't acknowledge me as the Son of Man who offers himself as a sacrifice for sin, if you don't take in all of that, believe that with all your heart, you cannot have eternal life. You must believe in the incarnation and the death of the Messiah.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur.